Good morning. Grace and peace to you as we gather together in the name of the living Christ to worship God with one another this morning. Surely God is with us in this place and calls us to worship in spirit and in truth. Let us pray. God, whose love and care for us extends far beyond our human understanding, whose presence in our midst is greater than our fears and doubts, we come offering ourselves to you, our weaknesses and our strengths, our faith and our fears. We seek to know the risen Christ among us in this gathering and trust you to reveal him to us once again as we wait upon you in hope and expectation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Welcome again to our virtual worship space here at Parma Christian Church and to those who are worshiping with us in the congregation this morning. You're welcome to join us each Sunday morning here on Facebook Live at 10:45 a.m. We are allowing people to join us in person for worship. If you would like to do that for next Sunday, please call the church office and let them know so that we can know who is coming so we can be prepared. We are also limiting our number of in-person service participants to 30 people in the sanctuary so we can maintain social distancing. For those of you who might be a visitor with us today, I am Reverend Nancy Dunn, the interim pastor at Parma Christian Church. Richard Woodward is our organist and pianist. Daryl Cravanos is our IT technician and videographer. And our elder for the day, I believe, is Mary Ann Woodward. Daryl Cravanos. A few items for us to be reminded of this morning as we worship together both in person and at home. We do practice weekly communion because we believe it is an important part of our faith life, and we extend that invitation to anyone who would like to join us and participate in communion today. You may use whatever you have at home, and for those of us in the congregation, I remind you that there was a little cup that contains both juice and bread that was available for you as you came into worship. So if you did not pick it up, please know that that is in the back of the sanctuary by the door. We do remind you of offering. Your generosity is appreciated as it is what enables us to keep our ministries here at Parma Christian Church alive. You may use our online giving tool, which is on our church website, www.parmachristianchurch.org, or you may mail in your offering to Parma Christian Church, 7000 Ridge Road, Parma, Ohio, 44129, or if you are visiting or in the sanctuary with us today, you may simply drop your offering off at the basket and the tray back by the where the bulletins and the communion are. For those of us who are here in the sanctuary, I remind us to follow all COVID-19 safety protocols. Please wear your mask at all times. You may lower it for communion only. Please maintain a safe space of 6 feet away from other worshipers who are not a part of your COVID bubble. Share a friendly hello by waving to those who are in the sanctuary with you, but please avoid shaking hands or hugging anyone who is not part of your family unit or COVID bubble. Because we know that COVID is spread through aerosols, we will not be singing with each other in worship for a little while yet. We are watching information that comes from organizations such as the Hymn Society, as well as other music organizations that know about these things for when they say it might be safe for us to sing together again. So when we also recite the Lord's Prayer, I invite you to do that quietly into your mask. Whisper it quietly so that we are all worshiping together with that. When the service is concluded, we ask that you do not remain in the sanctuary to visit, but to exit into the parking lot, where I will be stationed there in the parking lot to greet you if you have any concerns that you would like to share or just to say a friendly hello. And our worship continues with music provided by our organist. Thank you. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, verses 19 to 31. Many of us know this story as the story of doubting Thomas. The scripture begins actually on the Sunday, on the first day of the week, the evening of Sunday, after the resurrection. So not a lot of time has passed, but then it does follow and tell us what happens over the next week. Hear now the scripture from God's holy word. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, and they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, or put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. William Willimon, who is a retired bishop in the United Methodist Church and former dean of the Divinity School at Duke University, tells in one of his writings about a group discussion that was the discussion was on difficult Christian beliefs. They had discussed several difficult claims and doctrines of Christianity when, as was inevitable, someone brought up the difficulty of believing in the bodily physical resurrection of Jesus on that first Easter Sunday. Others agree, too, that this was kind of hard to believe. After all, who among them had ever seen someone brought back from the dead? And by that, I'm not talking about, you know, someone being resurrected or revived in a medical hospital facility, but someone who was literally brought back from the dead. We all know that the dead stay dead. Resurrection is a far-fetched thing that those in the room thought, if not downright unbelievable. And so at this point, a woman interjected, "Well, I do believe in the resurrection. I've seen it. I've lived it." And she told a story about when her husband left her, when he walked out on her. She said, I could have died. I did die. My life was over. Dead end. But then, by the grace of God and with the coaxing of good friends, I came back. I came to life. I got a whole new life. It was a miracle. I believe in the resurrection because I've lived it. This woman talks about believing in the resurrection of Jesus because she has experienced a resurrection of her own. She had been raised up from the death and life of deep despair, the grave of hopelessness, and the loss that her husband's betrayal had plunged her into. God had literally rolled away the stone that held her captive in her life and led her out of darkness into new life. Surely, she believed, God had been able to deliver her from the deep depression caused by the divorce, because God's love was greater than even death itself. Only a God who could overcome the grave was great enough to lead her out of the valley of the shadow of death in which she had languished. In today's scriptures lesson, we find that the disciples are inhabiting their own kind of tomb. But unlike Jesus' grave, this one is sealed not with a stone, but with a locked door. It is Easter Sunday evening, yet on this day of resurrection, we do not find the disciples rejoicing. Instead, they're locked away in fear. The Romans and the religious authorities have killed their leader, and now they fear that they might be next. But early that morning, Mary had come to them. Some of the women had come to them, saying that they had seen the Lord and that he was alive. Yet here the disciples are sitting in this locked room, quite anxious and afraid, and they don't know what to think. Perhaps it was not just fear for their own lives that bound them. Maybe they were overcome by guilt and regret. After all, they had abandoned Jesus. And Peter, perhaps, and perhaps others among them, had denied knowing him. But the locks on the door cannot keep Jesus out. Somehow, miraculously, Jesus comes to them, and he stands there among them in the flesh, still bearing the scars of his suffering and his death. He is with them in that locked room of their fear, their guilt, their regret, their uncertainty about their future. He stands with them in their anguish. And he speaks comfort to them and says, "Peace be with you." He speaks to calm their inner turmoil, as once he spoke peace to calm a raging storm on the Sea of Galilee. More than that, Jesus does not condemn, he does not accuse, but in speaking peace to them, he offers forgiveness. He forgives so that they may move forward from their sins and their failures. He offers them grace so that they may go out and share that grace with others in his name. And then a week later, Jesus does it again. He does it again because one of them, Thomas, was not there that first time. And again, the disciples are gathered together in a room where the doors are shut and locked, but Jesus comes and stands among them nonetheless. The doors are shut tight, much as the doors of Thomas's mind and heart were shut tight against the good news the other disciples had shared with him. He did not believe that Jesus was resurrected. He would not believe that Jesus was alive unless he saw and felt it for himself. And so Jesus comes again to them. He comes to where Thomas is. He comes to roll away the stone of Thomas's doubt, to burst open the locks of Thomas's unbelief. And again, Jesus offers grace and comfort. "Peace be with you. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas can only respond by saying, "My Lord and my God." Easter is the good news that Jesus is alive, that he is victorious over sin and death, that he has conquered evil and lives eternally so that we too might live. But the resurrection is about more than believing the right things to get to heaven. It's about more than just new life after death. As the disciples discovered, resurrection means Jesus is present in all those places of doubt, all those places of locked doors, all those times when we think we have no future and no hope. Jesus is there bringing new life. If God could raise Jesus from the dead, then our lives too may be resurrected from all of those lesser deaths we experience. We may be raised up from death and life of our losses and our disappointments, our failures, our sins, our dead ends. All of these can be overcome by God's life-giving love. By the power of Christ's resurrection, we can live again and live abundantly. Yes, Jesus comes to us, but he does not force himself on us. He comes to the disciples offering peace, forgiveness, and a new start, but they don't have to accept it. He comes to Thomas offering proof in the form of an intimate personal encounter, but Thomas is free to turn away. Jesus comes to us out of love, but we may push him away. We may reject him, turn our backs, ignore him, build new walls and lock new doors to keep him out. Jesus comes to us often, though, in other people. Frequently, Jesus comes to us as the poor, the vulnerable, the foreigner, the despised outsider, the needy. Jesus comes to us as a man of sorrow and one acquainted with suffering. And sometimes we turn away from him. We push him away because we hold him of no account. Jesus comes to us with peace, forgiveness, and new life. But we don't have to welcome him. And yet Jesus is persistent. Just as he comes a second time to that room seeking Thomas, he comes again and again and again in our lives, seeking us, always reminding us of his presence with us. Dennis Covington wrote a book called Salvation on Sand Mountain. And it's both a story of a snake handling churches, but more importantly, it's a memoir of his life growing up in Birmingham, Alabama in the 1950s. And the book concludes with these words. Most of the children in my neighborhood were called home for supper by their mothers. The mothers would open the back doors, wipe their hands on their aprons, and yell out the names. Willie, Joe, Ray, come on home, time for supper. Either that or they would use a bell bolted to the door frame that was loud enough to start the dogs barking in the backyards all along the street. But Dennis writes, I was always called home by my father. And he didn't do it in the customary way. He walked down the alley all the way to the lake. If I was close, I could hear his shoes on the gravel before he came into sight. If I was far, I would see him across the surface of the water, emerging out of the shadows and into the gray light. He would stand with his hands in the pockets of his windbreaker while he looked for me. This is how he got me to come home. He always came to the place where I was before he called my name. He always came to the place where I was before he called my name. Easter reminds us that Jesus comes to the place where we are and calls our name. Jesus meets us where we are in our lives, whether we are in the darkness of rock-bound tombs created by nature, society, or circumstance, or if we are holed up behind closed doors that we ourselves have locked out of fear, guilt, anger, despair, or even the outright desire to avoid God. Out of a deep love for us, Jesus comes to where we are. No stone can keep Jesus in his tomb or out of ours. And no locked doors can keep his loving presence from us. This too is the good news of resurrection. Christ is risen, and because he lives, we too may live right here, right now, in the midst of uncertainty and anxiety, in the midst of illness and death, in the midst of layoffs and social isolation, we may live with faith, hope, and love. Jesus comes to us wherever we are, and Jesus declares, "My peace be with you." So let us respond with our faith, and let us respond with our belief, and let us declare with Thomas, "My Lord and my God." Amen. As we come to our time of prayer today, we do have lots of prayer concerns that we want to lift up this week. If you are watching on Facebook Live, we invite you to type into the comment section the prayer concern that you may have. And these are the prayer concerns that we are aware of today. We lift up Bob, Alice's friends, Cindy and Cindy's daughters, Helene's grandson, Logan, Pam, Kathy and Tom, Carol, Marianne's mother, Ida, Julie's friend, Audrey, Marty's brother, Mark, Jackie and Nicole, Terry, Burday's brother, Clyde, Rob's wife, Cindy, and the Marchese family. We pray, too, for all who have been exposed to or diagnosed with COVID-19. We continue to pray for everyone in our country as we continue to navigate through these mask mandates or the vaccines that are being offered, and we know that people are concerned. We know that people are confused about what they need to do. So we do pray for everyone. We do pray for all who are affected by the economic impact of the pandemic that is ongoing. And we pray for our country that we might see one another as valued children of God. Let us pray together. Let us pray. Almighty God, we have been born again through the resurrection of your Son. And even though we have not seen the risen Christ, we love and believe in him. Creator God, we pray for governments and authorities around the world who are developing strategies to manage safely fluctuating COVID infection rates. We pray for all those working in essential services that supply goods and services and care for us. Help us all to be responsible in the things that we do in our lives to prevent the spread of the virus, even now as lockdown begins to ease around the country. But we pray, Lord, that the variants that are now rapidly spreading around the country will be diminished. We thank you for the vaccines and the skilled scientists who developed them. And we ask that everyone will respond positively to the offer. Merciful God, we pray for peace in our troubled world. We pray for all families whose homes are disrupted by anger and bitterness and where relationships are broken, especially where places that relationships have been made worse by the stress of the pandemic. We thank you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, who walks with us on our life's journey, and as he lifted the hearts of his friends when they saw him raised from the dead, may he travel alongside all who are struggling with their family life. Faithful God, we hold before you all who find it difficult to trust in you. We pray that you will push aside their doubts and fears and bring them hope, comfort, and healing with it in an inner peace. Heal those who are sick in mind, body, and spirit. May they regain their strength and health. Merciful God, we remember before you those who have died in the hope of and we pray for the hope of resurrection. Unite us with them in your undying love. Help us to always remember that death could not hold your Son, Jesus Christ, and that new life for him means new life for all who believe in him. Gracious God, your Son, Jesus Christ, stands among us, and we have seen the marks of your saving love in our lives. Breathe on us with the power of your Holy Spirit, and send us out to share the peace of Christ with all who may cross our paths in the week ahead. For these and all our prayers, we offer you, trusting in your goodness and your strength, in the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.